You're listening to the Prison Poetry Workshop podcast. I'm Ren Smith. Here we present readings, commentary, recordings, and stories about the little-known and even less understood literary tradition of prison poetry. Here's a little prison audio sample. It goes way back. That's a recording of a Southern chain gang in 1954. The recording was captured by Alan Lomax, a famous folklorist who, among other things, traveled from prison to prison collecting prison songs for the Library of Congress. We wanted to play you this because it shows one of the ways poetry survives and gets passed along in a place where writing materials can be scarce, through song.
These old songs that have died out now were songs that helped do the work. They helped coordinate the labor of doing hard work together.
That's Ben Harbert, assistant professor of music at Georgetown University.
They helped pass the time. They helped to get people to communicate, helped get people to voice protest in coded ways. So music also did a lot of work. Not only did it accompany work, but it also did a lot of work.
Needless to say, the prison system here in Louisiana has changed some, but that doesn't mean prison has become any easier on prisoners. While, according to Ben, back in the old days, the daily routine was tougher, Louisiana's prisoners endured less of it.
Inmates were doing harder work with less time. So a life sentence you could get out in 10 years and 6 months with no connections or no bribes. And now, if you have a life sentence, you need a pardon from the governor to get out. And so the work that music accompanies now is the work of the body being held, which takes work. And music intersects with that suffering of time that people are doing now.
A few years ago, Ben got curious about what sort of music thrives in Louisiana prisons these days. He filmed several different music groups at three prisons in Louisiana and found that songs still play an important role in prison life. So here's what he heard at one very famous prison.
Louisiana State Penitentiary, otherwise known as Angola Prison, is the oldest and largest prison in Louisiana, and it holds 5,000 inmates. It's spread out on a 18,000-acre tract of land that's bordered on three sides by the Mississippi River, and on the fourth side by about 26 miles of forest that I've never seen them, but apparently the forests are filled with poisonous snakes. It's this place that used to be plantations until it was bought by the state and turned into a prison farm at the turn of last century. So there's a lot of music, there are a lot of prisoners, and it's been that way for a long time. The Pure Heart Messengers is one of the main gospel groups at the prison. It's made up of four guys, and among them all, they've done over 100 years together. They've done a long time. They're all lifers. So they were the first go-to group that the administration had pointed me to, because they do a lot of functions. They've even toured outside of the prison to parish events and church events and things like this. So they're pros. They're really good at what they do. They're amazing singers. My blessing, my blessing on the way. I got a blessing. My blessing, my blessing. They told me that they had all learned how to sing gospel from this guy, John Taylor, who doesn't sing anymore. Well, of course you have to go talk to John Taylor. Of course you have to find out what his story is and why he stopped singing. Because we learn We learn a lot about music by why it failed, why musicians stop.
Whenever I give Hoggy Feathers here, all right, y'all bring out the joy in me.
That's a blessing to you.
And look, just being around y'all and seeing that.
When I came here back in the 70s, I was surprised when I looked and seen what kind of, how the prison was being run. A year passed by, I went to go in the field, working in the field. I was singing out there in the field in the warm, hot days, cutting cane. One of the guys came out of another line across and asked me, "Are you a gospel singer?" I said, "Yeah, I sing gospel." He said, "I could tell through your voice by you singing that blues number that you had a little gospel sound in you. See, I'd like to meet you this evening behind that old building." We got real good. We lasted about 2-3 years. Then they started going home. And after they started going home, they left me alone. So I waited about a year or so. I was able to get around and pick guys that wanted to learn how to sing. And some of them had a little talent. All they needed was a little brushing up. Somebody to kind of push him to bring it out of him, you know. And I was able to help him bring it out.
I wanted to sing gospel. I had to find a band room, so I ran into John Taylor. They called him Big John. And I thought I could sing at the time. I didn't know no harmony, but I could sing solo. So I met him, and he taught me how to sing. He really gave me what I know now.
He would teach them without actually talking to them. He would use his voice and get behind their notes and push their voices around, and he learned how to manipulate them without doing any of this. I mean, sometimes they would ask a direct question, like, "How do you do this? What note do you hit?" Or he'd correct them, but a lot of it was just through his kind of invisible hand pushing the harmonies around, which is an incredible skill, but it's a skill you have to have in prison because prisons often don't take kindly to other prisoners telling them what to do.
They began to open up, and then the things that were hidden in them, they didn't know. They began to open up, and they would begin to express. That's how we was able to know each other.
So they learned how to sing from John Taylor, and there was a certain point at which he quit. He just stopped singing, and he didn't participate in any of the groups. And he was leading this group and was transferred.
And I got transferred and went to Camp H.
Because he said he wasn't allowing something to happen in the band room. Somebody ended up doing something that got him in trouble and transferred to one of the satellite camps. Probably involved sex or prostitution or something.
When I came back over, the group was in another man's hand.
He has this great line where he says, "I came back and they had these bylaws. Why would you have bylaws in a group if you didn't trust anyone?"
That's something we didn't need. And I told him, I said, this group here has never been run by bylaw. We are all men. We all come together and agree. Law was made for people that do wrong. That's why they have to have laws for people that do wrong. If you ain't gonna do right, we don't even need you in the group. Because I don't want to put no law on no man to force no man to do nothing. That's why I had the group like I had it.
Well, what was happening is that the groups were becoming much more professionalized and they were interfacing much more with the administration. It used to be just a grassroots thing, and John Taylor did it because it gave him a sanctuary within the prison. It gave him a place where things made sense, gave him a place where he could find personal growth from, gave him a sense of connecting his who he was at that moment to who he was as a child, gave him all of these things. And so in this case, music was then folded back into the prison system for John Taylor because it was about negotiating some sort of role or favor, currying favor with the administration, either just simply to go outside and perform outside of the prison or to perform for important people who were coming in.
So I said, "Well, I ain't gonna do this here. I'm gonna let them learn for themselves."
And he and he quit singing.
Stop right here so I can let y'all know I can't make it.
Okay, well, we're going to talk.
And there's a scene that I have in the film that my editor convinced me to keep in, where we stumble on to John Taylor, and he had been waiting maybe 15 minutes for us. We were a little late, and he was pissed. He was really mad. And so he didn't want to sing. And he says, well, you know, I'm not going to sing. I'm not feeling good.
I can't make it. I got to go back.
And he's walking away, and I try to talk him into it.
Wednesday? Would you think you'd be up for it on Wednesday? If I told you an exact time in the morning?
Oh, I might be. I might be feeling a little bit better then.
Yeah.
But today, I really don't feel up to it. You know, doing the song.
I understand. I don't want to put you in an awkward
position. Well, now, by Wednesday, I might be a little better. I'm going to take my walk in the morning around about 7 o'clock, and I should be back around about 8:30. I don't know what time you're going to be here.
We'll see what we can work out, if we can work something out.
Do it. And I was a little upset because my crew was going home the next day, and so I couldn't come back with my whole crew. So I ended up shooting all those last sequences myself and with a microphone on a boom pole because I didn't have my audio recordist or my cinematographer with me. But he wasn't going to sing for me at that time. But Albert Patterson, who was an inmate in the Pure Heart Messengers, ends up talking him into singing for a moment.
All of my trouble,
all of my trouble
will be over by and by,
by and by, by and by.
Going home. To live with the Lord,
in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Every time
I make a start,
somebody always
block my way.
For all of my trouble.
And it's a great scene because he sings two verses of it, of this song, and then he just takes his hand and he just cuts it, shuts it down. He says, "All right, catch me Wednesday, and I'll give you a little bit more."
Catch me Wednesday, I'll give you a little bit more.
All right,
thank you, John. That's beautiful. That's so good. Nice to meet you.
All right, that's the guy. God bless you.
Be blessed, y'all.
All right.
That's the voice of Angola prisoner John Taylor. Ben Harbert's film about Louisiana's prisons is called "Follow Me Down." If you'd like to hear more music from Louisiana prisons, check out our podcast at prisonpoetryworkshop.org.
They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday is just as bad. Yes, they call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday is just as bad. Wednesday is worse, and Thursday's also sad. The eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. The eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. Sunday I go to church, Lord, and I kneel down to pray. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy on me.
I'm Ren Smith. We'll be back next week with more prison poetry. To find out how you can lend your voice to our poetry archive, go to prisonpoetryworkshop.org.